In the name of Jesus Christ, who came to seek and to save what was lost. Dear fellow redeemed, text for our meditation this morning comes from Luke chapter 15, our gospel lesson as previously read. It was 3:37 on a Saturday afternoon, the Saturday before last Easter. I was running down the sidewalk to get to the pharmacy for my 3:45 p.m. COVID test, the last test of the day. See, I just scheduled this test about 10 to 12 minutes ahead of time from my ICU suite at Children's Hospital. See, Josie had been born about a day and a half earlier, and she was about to go in for her very first brain MRI. And in the meantime, I needed to run, literally run, and get a COVID test because we needed to be able to stay at the Ronald McDonald House while Josie was going to be in the hospital. So I scheduled the test. I raced down the elevator, ran out the doors, and started running down the sidewalk to get to the pharmacy. I had about 10 minutes to make it a mile and a half. Let me tell you, the dad bod had already set in before that. It was a trip. But thanks to the adrenaline, which was the only thing left running through my body, I did manage to make it with a moment or two to spare. And when I got there, well, I realized you can't go inside the store to get a COVID test. You got to go through the drive-thru. So I went through the drive-thru, and after a lively conversation with the pharmacist, I learned that a drive-thru requires a car, which I didn't have because I ran to the hospital and because I had ridden to the hospital in an ambulance from Appleton the day before. But no car meant no test. And there were no exceptions. But I needed to get that test. I needed to do whatever it took to be able to take care of my daughter. And so I convinced a random elderly gentleman named Bob, who was out on his afternoon honey-do list picking up his prescriptions. I convinced him to let me sit in his back seat so that I would be in a car so that I could get the test. I needed to get that test, and I was going to do whatever it took to get that test. Now, I had only been a father for about a day and a half at that point, but there was something about the nature of God's fatherly heart that had come alive in me in that last day and a half that made me willing to move heaven and earth if I needed to do what was needed for my little child, especially when she was in distress. So even a father with a sinful heart like mine can serve as but a pale reflection of the love that our Heavenly Father truly has for us. Our hymn just exclaimed it for us, how deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure. That's the aspect that I want you to focus on, the Father's heart. As you hear this familiar parable again, maybe for the second time or maybe for the 200th time, I want you to focus on the Father's heart as we hear the parable that's so often called the parable of the prodigal son. You know, it's kind of funny, the prodigal son in the story, he isn't even really the main character. I mean, part of the story is about him, but he's really not even the only character in the story that we might call prodigal. Because if you think that synonyms for prodigal are something like rebellious or wayward or sinful, well, you'd be thinking just like me, but you'd be wrong. Because prodigal means spending freely or extravagantly or even recklessly or wastefully. And by that definition, There's actually more than one character in the story that's prodigal. We could just as well call the father in the story the prodigal father. That's our theme for today as we look at the parable of the father and his two sons and focus on the father's prodigal heart. Before we launch into the story once again, we got to take one stop and catch the setting and the context that inspires Jesus to tell this parable. You see, there are sinners and tax collectors that are gathering around to eat with Jesus. St. Luke tells us the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. So it seems that both of these groups Jesus has in mind, either directly or at least indirectly, as he tells the three parables that make up Luke chapter 15, the lost and found chapter of the Bible. The first parable, the parable of the lost sheep, and then the parable of the lost coin. Finally, the parable that we have before us today, sometimes also called the parable of the lost son. Seems that Jesus is speaking to both sinners and tax collectors and also to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, and see how each of those two groups are represented in the parable. As Jesus launches in, he says, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' Now, for a younger son to do this, to come to his father demanding his inheritance, it would have been a grave insult to his father. It would have been like that younger son coming to his dad and saying, 'Dad, I can't wait for you to die fast enough, so give me your money now and I'll be on my way.' The custom of the day would have been that the eldest son would receive 2/3 or a double portion of the blessing, and the younger son would receive 1/3. So this younger son comes demanding his third so he can go off and sow his wild oats. And we see already the father's loving heart as he does not bring his son to blows or give him a verbal lashing, but he seeks to honor his request. And he has to go to great lengths to do it because he doesn't just have 1/3 of his money laying around. He's got to sell his property in order to be able to get that money to give it to his son. So the father does it. He sells his property, divides it up among them, and gives his son his share of the inheritance. And when the son gets it, he's off on his way. He gathered together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. So he becomes the prodigal son, wastefully and recklessly spending all that he had until it was gone. And then he began to be in need. Soon he finds himself as a servant working on a pig farm, feeding pigs, which were unclean animals. That would have been a big no-no for any Jewish man. And as he's feeding these pigs, he finds himself longing for the nasty pods that they feed to the pigs, and no one would even give him any of those. That's how desperate his situation was. That's how lost this son found himself. As this prodigal, gallivanting version of yourself made an appearance or two in your life, where you chafed under the rules of your parents and you felt like you had to get out of there, go off and sow your wild oats, find yourself. Well, it's not until this son hits rock bottom that he actually finds himself, comes to the realization that he is so desperate, and there's servants that are back in his father's house that have it way better than him. And so this son realizes the wreckage he has left in his path, how he has ruined everything, and he sets his sights on home. He starts rehearsing his speech. He says, I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Just make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. You can imagine how the sinners and the tax collectors that Jesus was eating with might have identified with this character in the story, recognizing the moments in their lives just as well as we can, recognizing those pig muck moments of our lives where we find ourselves desperate and lost. So ends Act 1 of the parable, the scene of the prodigal son. Now it's time for Act 2. It's time for the prodigal father. See, this father, every night when he comes in, he comes out of the fields, and every night he looks down the driveway across the horizon, hoping, longing, waiting for this to be the day that he catches sight of his son coming down the road. And when it's finally that day, when he catches sight of his son, he wastes no time. He runs out to his son and realizes this. The patriarch of the family, the father, those guys didn't just go running around. The children maybe ran, or the women or the servants, but the dignified father of the family, he didn't go running around. Well, this father doesn't have any regard for his own dignity. He catches sight of his son, and he was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. Now remember, this son is probably still covered in pig muck and smelling like manure, and the father doesn't care. He runs out, throws his arms around him, kisses him, because he is that happy to have his son back again. And the son, he starts in on his big rehearsed speech, and the father doesn't even let him get halfway through it before saying to the servants, quick, bring the signet ring and the best robe, put it on him, and even more than that, kill the fattened calf. Because my son, this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. The father was willing to kill and slaughter the fattened calf so that he could celebrate with the whole community. This was something that you didn't just have every Friday night. This was something that was reserved for like the most special day of that father's life. And the father deemed that this day was it. This was the day that he was going to pour out recklessly and abundantly his love on his son, who was alive and found once again. See the father's prodigal heart as he spares no expense to welcome his wayward son home again. Prodigal sinners, this scene is for you. To know that your Father in heaven longs for you back. He welcomes you back. He forgives you and restores you even when you smell like pig muck. So great is his joy to have you home. He spares no expense. He and all of heaven must celebrate. Sinners, this story is for you to know how deep the Father's love for us truly is. That he wants us home. He is willing to crush condemnation beneath his feet in order to have us home. That's how deep his love for us truly is. Now, there's one character in this story who is not prodigal. Instead, he's the opposite. He's stingy and he's exacting. He's subservient and obedient. He's the elder righteous son. And to this son, everything must be given on the basis of deeds. And this son believes he's got the deeds to back it up. This son is out in the field working hard, and when he comes in from his hard day's labor, he can't believe what he hears. The sound of music and dancing like he would have never heard before, and he's probably got some sort of idea what's going on, but he needs to confirm it with the servant. And when the servant tells him what has happened, that his brother has come home, that his father killed the fattened calf, this brother is so angry, he stays outside. He withholds himself from the family. He will not join. And now this son is the one who is disgracing the father on the father's best day of his life. This son is the one who is withholding himself, demonstrating just how lost he is as well. The first son says, "Give me, give me, give me." And now this son proves with his words just how lost he is when he says, "You never gave me." And yet the father goes out to him. He longs for his son to come into the feast. The father's prodigal heart once again shines through as he goes out and seeks his son, implores and pleads with him to come. But you hear the son's words. "Look," doesn't even call him dad or father, just "look, all these years I've been slaving for you, never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes come home, you kill the fattened calf for him." And that complaint, it makes perfect sense to us. We might even throw in a, "That's not fair, dad." And yet it demonstrates how lost this son is in his slavery, in his obedience to his father. He doesn't want the father either. He just wants to make sure that his stuff, his own money that now is his because the other son took all the rest of dad's money, he doesn't want to see one more penny wasted on this good-for-nothing son of his father. He doesn't even want to acknowledge him as his own brother. That's how much he keeps himself outside the family. But the father continues to plead. He continues to long for this son to come and share in his joy. "My son, you are always with me. Everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead. It is alive again. It was lost and is found." That's how the parable ends. We don't hear whether the older son actually ever went into the feast. As far as we know, he's there standing outside when it ends. As far as we know, he never went in to the feast. It was no deficit in the father's love that had welcomed the first son home and had also gone to plead for the second son to come in and share the joy. It was not that the prodigal father's heart did not want both sons back home, but the one was unwilling. As we think about Jesus' audience hearing this parable, you can imagine how the Pharisees might have bristled at the implication Jesus was making that there were sinners in the feast enjoying God's joy while they were left on the outside lost. There are plenty of times where we can see those moments of self-righteousness and judgment in ourselves, just like those Pharisees as well. There's plenty of opportunities for us to identify as either son in this story. Maybe you feel like the prodigal black sheep of the family, or maybe you feel like the obedient, subserving one, the rule follower. And there's good law and gospel lessons that we've taken from each of those sons. But the one that Jesus wants you to focus on in all of this, the character that Jesus must have you see, is the one that he mentions 12 times in this parable, the father, and the father's prodigal heart. That's the heart beating within the chest of Jesus as he is there eating and drinking with sinners and tax collectors. That's the prodigal heart of Jesus as he goes out to the Pharisees longing to call them into the feast and share in the Father's joy. That's the heart of Jesus that will move heaven and earth to seek and to save what was lost because it is needed to bring the Father's children home once again. And we do have a prodigal Father in heaven who did not spare his own son, but freely gave him up for us all. And we do see another prodigal son, not like the first one, not wasteful and reckless, not like the second one, not vengeful and exacting, but we see a true son indeed, who did not stop back from shedding every ounce of blood that was needed to take away our sins. That's the heart of Jesus that came to seek and to save what was lost. That's how deep the Father's love for us truly is, that he gave his one and only son for us. Now, as you go home today, I want you to leave knowing the Father's prodigal heart, how he welcomes you and restores you and forgives you. And I also want you to go home showing the Father's prodigal heart to the children that you may have that have gone off. And when they come back, forgive them and restore them and welcome them. And the family members that are astray, go out to them in the field and plead with them for them to come back home and share in the joy of the feast. See, that's what each one of these parables end with. The lost sheep and the lost coin and the parable of the two sons, they all end with joy at the feast. The joy of God welcoming sinners home to himself. Know the Father's prodigal heart. Show the Father's prodigal heart and share in his joy with every sinner he welcomes at the feast. In his name, amen.
Hey, thank you so much for spending some time with us and worshiping with us online today. We are so glad you fed your faith through the work of Mount Olive, and we'd love to know that you fed your faith. So head on over to MountOliveAppleton.com and click the online friendship register, or just click the link in the description here. It takes about 1 minute to fill out. Thanks so much for spending time with us. God's blessings on your day.